Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. A group of ministry students was asked if they would like to help some people. Ministry students love to help people, so they are very excited. And they were divided into two groups. And the first group was told that they were going to go to a room on the other side of the campus and tell the story of how they got their call to ministry. And they were very excited because ministry students love to talk about their call to ministry. And the second group was told that they were going to go across campus and tell the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, in case you don't remember this story, it's a story that Jesus tells about a man who is traveling along a desert road when he is overtaken by robbers and beaten and left for dead. Along the road come three pious people, a priest and a scribe, and they see the man and they cross by on the other side. And then the third one comes, a Samaritan, which were the enemies of the Israelites. And because they worshiped the same God but in a different way, they were considered unclean. We know something about that, I think. Because they worshiped the same God but in a different way, they were considered unclean. And so most people would have nothing to do with Samaritans. But this Samaritan found the man by the side of the road, picked him up, bandaged his wounds, put him on a donkey, took him to an inn, paid the innkeeper to care for him, and promised that he would return to check on the fellow at a later time. So the ministry students were in two groups. This group is going to tell their call. The second group is going to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. In each of those two groups, they were further divided into three groups. The first group was told, whenever you get there is fine. We'll gather everybody together and you can tell the story. The second group was told, people are already gathered and they're just waiting for you to start whenever is a good time to begin. So we'll just see you when you get there. And the third group was told, your presentation begins in 10 minutes. You have no time. Hurry. So the students set off across the campus. Now, the people who were doing the project had set up an actor to feign a terrible asthma attack halfway across campus. So he was wheezing. If you know anyone with asthma or you yourself have asthma, that's a terrible feeling, and it's terrible to watch someone who struggles to breathe. And one group of people, it didn't matter their age, it didn't matter their life experience, it didn't matter their gender or their race, it didn't matter their religious background even. One group of people never stopped to help the man. Do you know which one it was? The ones who had no time. The ones who were told, you have no time. Now, once you hear that story, my friends, you cannot unhear it. Because you are told every morning from the minute you hit the alarm clock button that you have no time. Your time is up every day. Every time you turn on the television, every time you open a newspaper, every time you talk to a friend, every time you look at the calendar, every time you miss a meeting and are late for the next one, speaking from experience, you are reminded that you have no time. Now, here's what the devil does. The devil uses words that we know. First of all, can I just say, some of us are visitors today. We don't usually use the words like devil in the United Church of Christ. So we feel that that's a little bit too anthropomorphic for us, and we don't want to make evil into something that we can see. But I do believe that sometimes that we've thrown the devil out with the bathwater. that doesn't really hold, does it? Anyway, I think that sometimes we've lost a powerful metaphor. Because I do believe that sometimes there is a force, a compelling force, that uses the language that we know, that uses the metaphors and the stories and the images that we know to draw us down a path that is not what God has intended for us. So we're just going to use the shorthand, the devil, okay? And then some other time we can have a long theological conversation about how we don't really say the devil in the UCC. So the devil says to Jesus, and you can open your Bible to Luke 4 if you want, or look in your bulletin. Command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Now, what do you do with a loaf of bread? You feed people with it, right? So the devil is saying, here, I've got something to keep you busy. Here's something to keep you busy. You can go out and you can feed all the people in the world. That'll keep you really busy. Then the devil says, why don't you rule the world? That will keep you busy. You could be the king and the president and the prime minister of everything. Right? Busy. And then the devil takes him to Jerusalem, which is where the temple is, the place of worship, and says, here's a way to keep busy. Let's start throwing scriptures back and forth and arguing with one another. That will keep you busy. And Jesus resists those temptations, the temptations of the devil to fill up our time with so much stuff to do that we don't have any time for God. Because Jesus, see, was in this wilderness place. Now, the 40 days before Easter, minus Sundays, if you're like really a mathematician and you're thinking, hey, it's more than 40 days until Easter, minus Sundays is called Lent. And Lent is a season in which we turn and return to God. Now, some of you may think of Lent as a very gloomy time or a very deprived time if you have grown up in a tradition where you had to give something up or you couldn't eat meat or you couldn't watch television. But I'm here to tell you that the purpose of those Lenten practices is to make time, for God. In fact, now that I'm saying it, I don't really like the term make time, because time has already been made. Time is already here, ready, waiting for us. We just have to see time. So maybe for our Lenten practice this year, instead of making time, we can say, we're going to see time. I'm going to see time to be with God. I'm going to see time to be with my grandchildren. I'm going to see time to rest. I'm going to see time to look at the flowers that are blooming in the front yard right now. Even as our brothers and sisters on the East Coast are shivering in negative temperatures. And yet we walk right by those flowers, don't we? Those beautiful little hellebore, the Lenten roses, the crocuses, and the daffodils. Let's see time for those during this Lenten season. Now, Lori beautifully introduced our Lenten project to you. And there's kind of a trend right now about coloring. And so I just want to describe to you a little bit about why coloring seems important to us. Coloring is a total waste of time. Let me just say that right up front. If you color something, you're not making anything that someone can eat. You're not making something that someone can wear. And I think that's exactly why we should do it. Because God can't enter in to our lives when we're so busy all the time. But if we're doing something that takes our mind and our body and our spirit and takes all of those parts of ourselves, then there's a little opening where God can rush in. So why a mandala? Mandalas are symbol. The ones that we are using here are often symbols that are from Indian art. And in many places, in several different religious traditions, mandalas are made of sand, and the process of making them is the important thing. Have you seen a Tibetan sand painting or a Navajo sand painting? So it's the process of making that's the important part. It's not the final product. And same with these mandalas. When we sit down to color our mandala, it's the process that we're in that's important, not what it looks like at the end. It's the willingness to do nothing, to not produce, to be open. It's the willingness to rest and to see the time that is already available to us. This morning, as I prepared to tell you these words and getting ready for church, and I have to tell you, there are quite a few pastors and pastors' families in this congregation, so I just want to speak to you for a moment and tell you that I'm sure you agree with me that there is no less holy place than the pastor's house on a Sunday morning before church. There's just an awful lot more cussing going on than really there should be. And a lot more telling people that they are doing things wrong, and if they would just hurry up and get going, then... Anyway, maybe you pastors are different than... Your pastors are different than me, or your parents, or... Oh, look at... I see a little nod from Reverend Yates right there. I have a little dog who we just adopted, and immediately when we adopted him, he jumped off something and broke his leg. So I took him to the vet, and he's got a cast on him, and now our whole job is to keep him from jumping off anything, which if you ever had a six-month-old puppy, you know how impossible that is. And other people are supposed to do that on Sunday morning so that I can be holy. And they were not doing their job this morning, and the dog jumped off something, and he was squealing and running around and shaking his little cast, very sad. And I said to him, this little dog, and I'm thinking about my sermon the whole time, right? Petey, I do not have time for this. Okay. So this is a practice, right? This is our Lenten practice. So I sat down with him, and I held him on my lap, and he made this little, the world's saddest little puppy sound, and he nuzzled his little head right into my neck. I had to see time, and it took hurting that poor little dog to make it happen. I regret that. I'll probably be praying for forgiveness for that later on. So, I just know for sure that in your life, today or tomorrow or next week or in the next 20 minutes, you're going to think, I do not have time for that. Whatever it may be, waiting at the red light, caring for someone who's ill, going to another meeting, sitting down with a child, coloring something, maybe a mandala. In that moment, just listen to yourself and say, is that the voice of the devil? Or is that the voice of God speaking to me now? And then make a little space so you can see the time that God has placed before you. Amen.